Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Redneckinize. Hey, we're going to kick him back here for the next couple hours. Stay tuned. Make sure to call in to 516-387-1733. All right. Yeah, we're just kicking back here. Hanging out. Had a great day today. We down here in Corpus Christi, we had the... I forget what it's called now. It was a bike parade for the Toys for Tots. So everybody got out their motorcycles, met up at the university over here, and rode through downtown Corpus. I mean, it stretches a good shoot. Probably want to say about a 12, 13 miles where it goes along the bay waterfront through a little neighborhood, and then mostly it's all downtown. It's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. We're just hanging out here. So yeah, what do you call, like I said, doing the toy run they had for Toys for Tots for the Marine Corps Toys for Tots Foundation. They say this one here is pretty much the biggest one in the Texas area. I don't know how big it is as far as nationwide goes, but I would say there were probably right around 400 or 500 bikes doing this thing here, and it went on for a while. What it is people were camped out along the roadway there watching the parade go by, and people would dig out their most unusual collection of bikes. There's people there had some pretty cool trikes, some homemade trikes, stuff like that. It was pretty awesome. So yeah, we're just amazed at how everything went over there. And of course, they hung out the meet at this little gathering where they collect the toys, and then they have some hanging out where they serve drinks and they serve food, and they have a little raffle, silent auction to raise more money, and it's pretty awesome. So it was a great time. And of course, I was there with some friends, and we had some Redneckinized gear and gave a few things away, and just spreading the word out, and I had a great time doing it. So I can't wait to do it again next year. But yeah, we're just talking about that, getting ready for Christmas and everything. And I tell you what, you know, it's right around the corner, and this weekend or this year, it should have been a better year than it was, of course, but Christmas is on a Friday, which means that if you work for a carrier where you can get multiple days off at home, you might catch it on, you'll catch it on a weekend where you'll get home Christmas Eve or a day before, and you'll be off work for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and get back to work Monday. And it's a perfect plan, you know, sounds great. So people should be able to get together with their families more because of that. You know, it's always that people that work regular 9-to-5 jobs tend to have a better time getting time off during the weekends, of course. So you can be able to get with your families more. And, you know, we really need that this year. So looking forward to doing all that. And I don't know if you're going to get time off like that. Give me a holler and let me know, because we're just hanging out. Like I said, it's 516-387-1733. And yeah, the way I see it is that you can, you know, try to get home when you can, but then when Christmas falls on a weekend like this, then more people get together, and that's just a whole lot more fun. So yeah.
Galaxy S9 is connected. Connected to desktop AR4HQG7 and Edwards Galaxy S9.
Yeah, it's getting pretty cold out there. Today, this morning, like I said, we have our little bike parade, and it was about 47, 48 degrees. And, of course, you know, you got to stay kind of bundled up and everything. And it's a little bit more chillier when you're riding that motorcycle. So, you know, this is South Texas, so it got pretty nice. The sun came out, and it was turned out to be about 65, I think, today. So it's pretty awesome. Thank you.
load on this cat boot on. I put the pedal down to make some time. Make something good waiting down this road. I'm picking up whatever is mine. I'm riding down the train.
Here I go!
All right. Yeah. Welcome back. So, yeah, we're just kicking back over here. You know, we had a pretty fun day today. We rode our motorcycles over there to the Toys for Tots run and hung out with a lot of people over there, made some pretty new friends and spent a lot of time over there talking. And, you know, surprisingly enough, there was a lot of truck drivers over there. Of course, they got out their motorcycles and they were riding in the Toys for Tots bike parade, where they brought a toy and helped out a good cause. And you know, that's what happens. You know, we're just hanging out and you meet a lot of truck drivers doing that kind of stuff, because truck drivers, they like doing that. And you know, we're talking about getting ready for the holidays and everything. A lot of them, you know, they came home. Some of them, they get a lot of time off down here, because they only work during the week, or they're off on the weekends because they work for the oil field or stuff like that. But, you know, being out there on the road, you always try to get home for the holidays. And this year, because Christmas falls on a Friday, you know, we might have a good chance to see more people than we normally would be able to see because of that, because more people might be able to get time off of work, you know, if they are working. And of course, this year, being people are all out of work, you know, that, course, you know, that's where it counts the most, is being able to spend time with family, because a lot of times you can't get out there and see you know, people that you you just normally don't even think about it. You know, it's out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. You try to worry about yourself, try to take care of your own, but then sometimes you just need to spend a little extra time with those other family members that you may not see that often, because you know, sometimes they just need that. That's what gets you through it. So being home for the holidays, I think, is a big deal. I think everybody should try to do that. I don't know too many truck drivers that don't. I mean, even when I was working in the dispatch office, I knew drivers that really didn't have that much family, but they still wanted to be somewhere, home or with friends, for the holidays, for Christmas. You know, so that was always an important thing, and I always thought it was a big deal. And, yep. So, yeah, if you... you know, think about that. Holler at us, 516-387-1733. Let us know what you think. We'll just continue to rock on here through the night and enjoy ourselves, right? Thank you. Tell you what, yep. So this is Redneck and I's All Things Trucking and Then Some. Be part of the conversation. Just dial in 516-387-1733 and to push 1 to if you want to chat and just see what's going on tonight. You know, I was just thinking the other day about how it's getting kind of chilly out there, and I'm glad I live in South Texas, I tell you. Memory came up on my Facebook feed where I took a picture of my truck out in the snow and in Indianapolis where you couldn't even see anything. You know, it looked like just a grass field, that parking lot. And, you know, it's this time of year where you just got to be extra careful. And it's not even just driving. A lot of people just don't understand. It's about living. You know, you got to run the truck all night. You got to make sure that you got plenty of diesel fuel topped off and everything. And you just got to make sure that you're in a well area where you're going to be able to move the truck in the morning. I've been in several situations. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but you know, you go to bed at night and everything's fine. The engine starts up fine and the wheels won't even roll, you know, cause even the, if you sit with the brakes released, then they won't, you know, they froze. A lot of the trailers, the water gets in between the brake pads and brake drums, and then they just freeze, and next thing you know, everything's locked up. You know, what we carry around stuff that like aerosol spray. I tell people, you know, people don't even know the stuff kind of stuff exists where drivers have a canister of aerosol spray that's supposed to be able to melt the ice off of the brakes so that they won't freeze. And even in circumstances where the brake drums and the brake pads freeze together because you can't, of course, you can't sit with the tractor brakes free, you know, unless you have chocks or something, which the drivers carry with you. And stuff like that happens where you just got to, you're going to be stuck. And, you know, you talk to any kind of like tow truck drivers or whatever, they'll tell you. They come out there all the time, whether the truck won't start or the truck won't roll or the truck won't move because it got stuck in the snow or, you know, just won't get going because of the winter. You know, the winter months just affects everything. And there are tons and tons of drivers out there that just aren't prepared for it. And, you know, you hope that, you kind of wish that it would be where a lot of people would educate themselves more the carriers and companies would want their drivers to be educated more about that, because I don't know if they think it's like common knowledge or whatever, but, you know, first thing they do, these big carriers, you know, they're a national carrier. They run all over 48 states. They hire a driver that grew up in Florida and lives in Florida, and they send them to Wisconsin their first year out. And, you know, they don't know what to expect in Wisconsin. They've never been up there, you know, and if they have, it wasn't because they were truck driving, you know, stuff like that. So it's like you say, it's not just driving. Driving is really a bad part of it, but it's everything else. It's surviving up there. It's having, you know, enough to eat because the truck stop shut down because the winter came through with a blizzard and nobody can get in to, you know, stock the shelves or whatever. Just, you know, you got to be prepared for that. So I think that we as drivers probably should, you know, we're going to have to do it our damn self. We're going to have to tell the public and tell other drivers out there they need to be prepared for that. And don't just, you know, don't just turn a blind eye to it, because every year you see that where drivers get into a jam and it just costs more and more money for them to get out. And maybe they even lose a job because a carrier don't want to flip the bill for that or stuff like that. You know, they make the driver pay for it. They make the driver pay for the wrecker to come out and jump the truck, or they make the driver come out and pay for the wrecker to come out and pull the truck out of the snow. And that kind of stuff, you know, it adds up pretty quick. So, yep. So we have 516-387-1733 to be part of the conversation. Just hit one and we'll get you in here. Yeah, we're just kind of kicking back, maybe listening to a little bit of music and talking about getting ready for Christmas. You know, getting home for the holidays is always a big deal to me. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I always thought it was important to see family, especially if you've got, you know, older members of the family and you want to pay your respects to them and see them. And this year it's different. You know, it only comes around every now and then, maybe every 5 or 6 years you get it where the holidays fall on a weekend. Well, I guess it ain't that big of a deal. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, thinking back, I think it did in 2017. It fell like Christmas was on a Monday or a Tuesday, I think it, and so, you know, it kind of adds up to that where, so now hopefully what'll happen is that if you get time off, you can get during, like, so next year it should be on a Saturday. And then the next year after that, it'll be on a Sunday since this year falls on a Friday. And that, you just hope that you can get by and see more family at that time, because hopefully people that do have to work normal 9-to-5 jobs, get off on the weekends, that they might get a little more time off where they can come visit the family function. And of course, as a truck driver, it's hard to do that with everybody, you know, coming and going and everything. So I always thought that this year it's going to be an awesome year because we'll hopefully have more people doing that with us in my family. So looking forward to that. Yeah, I was just kicking back here, looking at some news and seeing what's going on in the world. wasn't too much happening this week. Of course, everybody's talking about the election and everything, but in trucking, let's see what was going on over here. See, now the top story that came out 2 days ago was a recruiter got busted for embezzling money. Oh, man, that's crazy. A driver recruiter of Missouri trucking companies. It says a former driver recruiter for two Missouri trucking companies on 5 counts of wire fraud. That's something else. Something you don't hear about every day. It says the indictment filed in U.S. District Court in St. Louis claims that Michelle Surthstein, age 50, of Smithton, Illinois, submitted fake recruiting expenses for reimbursement from October 2017 to January 2019 while working as a driver recruiter in Midwest Systems, the intermodal logistics company headquartered in St. Louis, as 61 power units and 46 drivers. After she was fired in January 2019, she was hired by another St. Louis carrier, AA Express, as a recruiter and to oversee driver safety, the U.S. Attorney's Office said. It says from March 2019 to April 2019, federal investigators claim that she diverted funds from her employer into her personal account before her employment ended. AAA Express has 121 power units and drivers. Prosecutors allege she stole nearly $121,000 from the two companies to pay for retail expenses and personal loans. Says she hasn't entered a plea to the wire fraud charges. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, she faces up to 20 years in prison and a $250,000 fine if convicted. It looks like that she had an expense account and she just abused the hell out of it. And I don't know, you know, so she stole money, you know, that's something else, something you don't see every day. That's on the Freight Waves website. I found that one. It was posted 2 days ago. And it says here, OIDA goes on offensive educating Biden camp. This was posted by the Landline magazine on December 3rd. Says, with truckers reeling from the relentless pressure since the ELD mandate followed by a global pandemic, the Owner-Operator Independent Driver Association has taken a preemptive strike for the rights of truckers with a presumed president-elect Joe Biden. There is no shortage of issues confronting the trucking industry as we head into 2021. An effort to put those issues front and center, the Owner-Operator Independent Driver Association sent a letter to President-elect Joe Biden's transportation transition team about the priorities for OIDA members. The letter will focus on such topics as infrastructure funding, truck parking, minimum insurance, speed limiters, detention time, broker transparency, and driver training. That was sent on Thursday, December 3rd. And then, of course, the article boils down. It explains a lot in detail, in as much detail as they're willing to give. It says infrastructure funding, topping the list of priorities is infrastructure funding and trying to make the process equitable for truck drivers. OIDA said professional drivers continue to favor the current user fee structure that would prefer reasonable increases to the federal gasoline and diesel fuel taxes. The association said it is open to further discussion about a vehicle miles travel tax, but that many OIDA members remain skeptical that the VMT system is the solution to the highway funding problems. One funding route OIDA doesn't want to see in the next administration go down is tolling. OIDA has consistently opposed any federal expansion of tolling policies. The association wrote, "Research has shown that tolling is an extremely wasteful method of funding our highways compared to fuel taxes. Additionally, toll roads consistently fail to meet revenue projections, creating unanticipated funding shortfalls, inevitable rate increases, and traffic diversion to non-tolled routes." And I'd say I'd probably agree with most of what that had, what they said about the infrastructure spending. The problem with it is, and you know, if anybody doesn't agree with me, please let me know. But what happened was is that back in the day, back when taxes were first being used, and like this was like in the, you know, in 1910, 1920s. What happened was is that the Constitution, they changed it and they made it where the Congress can tax. So any tax that you pay, Congress dictates where that money goes. So you can't, if you pass a law like infrastructure funding, okay, the funding comes out of the entire pocket of the government. There is no, like, if you pay gas tax or you pay the diesel fuel tax, that money is not earmarked. They don't have it earmarked. It doesn't, it's like they'll use it for whatever they want to use it for. So until we fix that solution to where what happens is that if I pay fuel tax, that money needs to be earmarked. It needs to be allocated to where it does not get spent on anything else but highway funding. And if we do it that way, then you could see a lot improvements with how money gets spent, but there, that's the way the system works, is that the money gets thrown into a big pot and then Congress decides where all that money goes. And that's the way it's always been ever since they passed the, I believe it is the 16th Amendment, I believe, that started the income tax. And that's the way it's always been. They can spend it on whatever they want, and it's up to them where it goes. You can't say, okay, I want this tax to only be spent on this thing. They're not going to do that. When they pass a tax, that tax, you know, they say we're going to pass a tax and that tax will be used for this. Well, every year, every time they spend money, they have to vote on it. So they cannot vote on that. They can vote on moving it somewhere else. So that's where the problem lies. The problem lies in how they spend it, how they allocate it, how they earmark it. It has nothing to do with how much money we're paying. I think we're paying a pretty good amount is what I think. So it just gets spent in the wrong ways. So, you know, if I travel on Interstate 35, or if I buy the gasoline or buy the diesel fuel on Interstate 35, then that money needs to be spent on Interstate 35 and, you know, in the vicinity of that. You know, if you're traveling on Interstate 20 all the time and you're buying diesel fuel on Interstate 20 all the time, but all the money is being spent up in, like, you know, Illinois and New York, then that money that you're buying diesel fuel on I-20 ain't doing I-20 a bit of good. So you know, we need to have more control over that, I think, is what I think. You know, that's why I think state fuel taxes should be high and federal fuel tax should be really low. So, because that way, if you buy it in the state, stays in the state. So, but like I said, if you think of something different, you know, let me know. 516-387-1733. Push 1 to be part of the conversation. I was going to continue on here with this Landline article. You know, they're talking about the issues that they want to see addressed with the new administration and how what OIDA thinks is important. Number 2 on the list is truck parking. It says, providing a sufficient amount of safe parking spots for truck drivers is one of the key issues confronting the industry. The current truck parking crisis is a serious highway safety concern, OIDA wrote. OIDA favors dedicated federal funding to expand truck parking capacity. More federal dollars must be spent to increase capacity instead of introducing ineffective technology and signage that only notifies drivers when spots are open, or in many cases when spots are simply full. OIDA asked the Biden administration to support H.R. 6104, which would provide hundreds of millions of dollars to add truck parking spaces. So I've already expressed my opinion about this. I think that this is a open free market system that needs to be solved. There is no, of course, it needs to be like a government intervention, to where the government needs to force. It's going to come down to it. This is what's going to happen. The government's going to have to force businesses along interstates to allow truck parking or to make truck parking. Like, you're not going to be able to build a mall on Interstate 10 or on Interstate 80. You're not going to be able to build like a big outlet shopping mall unless you provide truck parking. You're not going to be able to build a Walmart along the highway unless you provide truck parking. And it needs to be a sufficient amount. It needs to be a good, 30, 40% of the parking lot needs to be dedicated to truck parking. And, and then drivers, I'm sorry to say, you're going to have to start paying for it. That's what it's going to be. Think about this. What has to be paid for to provide truck parking? Okay. First off, they have to buy the lot, they have to buy the property. And secondly, they have to pave it or get access to it. That costs money. The other thing that costs money is property taxes. The government wants their cut. So maybe the government needs to say, hey, if you provide truck parking, that square footage of land that you provide truck parking for, you don't have to pay income property tax on that property. How about that? That'd be a good solution, wouldn't it? Especially if you're along a certain corridor. So like, if you own a business on Interstate 35, I'm not going to force you to build truck parking. But if you do provide some truck parking, I can provide you with some kind of rebate or discount on your property tax. I don't like property tax to begin with. I don't think it's fair that you buy something and then you keep paying tax on it as long as you own it. That's not fair. But we at least got to get something out of it, Maybe property tax should only be for, building along an interstate because of the fact we need truck parking. That's what's going to have to be. So two things are going to have to happen. This HR 6104, I'll do some more digging on that, but I think it's more of like the Jason's Law, where it gives money to state and local governments to provide truck parking. Those people aren't the ones that providing the truck parking. Private businesses are providing truck parking. We need to continue to allow private businesses to provide truck parking, and we need to kind of, shame or shun the businesses that don't. There are a lot of large facilities, especially near where I live. They don't want trucks parking. They have huge lots, huge property businesses on along the interstates, and they don't want trucks parking on. They say no trucks, And if a truck pulls on the lot, they run it off, They tow it. So that can't happen. You can't do that. You can't build this huge business on an interstate, on a main corridor where trucks travel, and then just not allow trucks. That just can't happen. You can't do that. It's kind of one of them things where everybody needs to share, especially if we all pay for the highway. And in essence, not only are we paying for the highway, but we're paying for the property along the highway. And we've got to have access to it because the government says we have to shut down. So if we have to shut down, we need a place to shut down. So, I don't like spending money on it. I'd like to get more incentive to have other people provide it for free or provide it at a reasonable rate. I don't like this, throwing more money at it. It just don't make no sense. So it says opposition. What does that mean? Opposition. Some of the priorities include measures that OIDA is trying to prevent from seeing the light of day. Some of those measures include increasing the minimum insurance rates, mandating speed limiters, and lowering the interstate driving age to 18. There have been efforts to increase federal minimum insurance requirements for motor carriers from $750,000 to as much as $5 million. I want to say real quick, I remember this. There was a congressman out of Pennsylvania who actually had a bill set to vote, but they never voted on it, but it was raising it to $4 million. And lo and behold, the congressman was a partner at a law firm at one of those like ambulance chaser law firms that sued trucking companies and all that. And they just knew that, if we raised their minimum, that means that if the minimum is $4 million, then we can go demand $2 million and the insurance will pay it because the insurance will cover up to $4 million. So as long as they just ask for two, there's never going to be an argument. So that was, and they had like documents and recordings you know, finding this out, admitting that's what they wanted. It says OIDA is against raising minimum insurance requirements for motor carriers beyond the current level of $750,000, which would lead to unaffordable increases in insurance premiums for many owner-operators, the association wrote. Federal studies have shown that less than 2% of the truck-involved accidents result in damages that exceed current minimum liability coverage requirements. Well, see, that's if there's research that verifies that, then there's no way. If you sued, a judge should overturn it just because of that fact right there. It says any minimum insurance increases would jeopardize the livelihood of thousands of small business truckers and likely force drivers with millions of accident-free miles off the road. And that's what it'll do. It just so it raises costs. That means the rates have to go up. If the rates don't go up, then drivers go out of business. You know, so, and the self-insured guys, they don't want this. Because of the way the insurance laws work, if you're self-insured, that just means you have to have money in the bank to cover your insurance. So if it's up to $5 million, that means that every time an accident occurs, like if Swift has an accident, they have to have $5 million in the bank. And then they can't touch that $5 million until they clear that accident. That's the way the insurance laws work. So that's the way the law is for anybody that has insurance. So it's self-insured just means that they have their own insurance company and they have the money in the bank to cover their insurance. So like you pay your premium and you have a deductible. Well, what they've done is they've eliminated their premium because they have so many trucks, their premiums would be through the roof. So instead of having premiums, they just have the money in the bank. And as long as they got the money in the bank, then they're within the law. That's how the law is. So the association also imposes initiatives to mandate speed limiters and to lower the driving age. OIDA said the speed limiters create dangerous speed differentials on the highway and doesn't want to decrease in the age to allow mega fleets to take advantage of young drivers. I agree with the speed limiters. I don't agree with the minimum age thing. The problem with if you to me, if a guy can become a plumber or a guy can become an electrician out of high school, he should be able to become a truck driver. Okay, that's, you know, what we need to do is we need some kind of constitutional amendment for the federal government to state what is the minimum age? What is legal age? We cannot keep having different ages for different things. We need to set an age, and that age should be for serving in the military, drinking, buying, whatever, you know. Firearms, whatever, we need to have that age. And we need the federal age to be, you know, either 18, 21, 17, whatever it is. You know, I think more and more these days, I think you could probably lift more people out of poverty if you allowed them to create their own destiny at a younger age. So, you know, by becoming a tradesman at a younger age, then you can catch them younger. And that means, you know, because a lot of times people become truck drivers because they've quit another job, stopped doing another job. You know, I mean, a lot of it is military. Guys get out of the military. The first thing, one of the easiest things to get into once out of the military is going to truck driving. I mean, you know, that's what it's always, how it's always worked for me. So, you know, so minimum age, I think, needs to be addressed because the fact that if we do have a driver shortage, that's the best way to cure that. Is to catch them young and allow them to create, you know, create their own wealth and create a career. You know, you got to get them young. So, you know, doctors start preparing to be doctors at like the age of 16 because you're preparing for college and all that. So we got to start younger and get them recruited and the take advantage of young drivers. You know, well, if you actually, one of the other things I saw on here was training standards. If you raise the training standards and you lower the driving age, you might turn out some pretty good drivers. So it says OIDA priorities. Other priorities OIDA wanted the Biden administration to be aware of included detention time, automated vehicles, broker transparency. It says underride guards, hours of service, driver training, truck size and weight, CSA reform, worker classification, and the push to eliminate the UCR program. Spencer makes pitch to lead FMCSA. This is the second letter OIDA has sent to Biden's transition team in the past week. In the first letter, OIDA President Todd Spencer, who has more than 45 years experience in the trucking industry, made known his desire to for the next administration of the FMCSA. Spencer said the trucking industry said the agency needs someone who knows what it's like to be a driver and criticize current regulations that have nothing to do with safety. Okay, so Todd Spencer, the president of OIDA, made his pitch that he would like to be the next administrator of the FMCSA. I would go for that. Something's got to be different. They're going to stick a politician in there that's going to do the will of the. Maybe he'll get in there and he'll realize that it's not what it's like. You know, he may be out of his league. You know, he'd not be able to keep up. But maybe that's something we can see. Of course, it'll never happen because the cronies rule the world, man. If you do the bidding of the multinational billionaire corporations, they're going to pay your way, you know. That's how China is making big, right? But that's pretty interesting. They sent two letters to the transition team for the new administration. So yeah, I'm gonna step away here, take a little break, and see what's playing on the radio. And like I said, 516-387-1733. Hit 1 to be part of the conversation. We appreciate any kind of support y'all can give. Check us out at redneckandnines.com, and we'll see you in a little bit.
One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace. And that would wipe the smile right from my face. Do you remember when we used to dance? And is it as a rose from circumstance? One thing led to another, we were young. And we would scream together songs unsung. It was the heat out of the north, telling me what the heart said. The heat out of the north, showing your eyes. And now you find yourself in 82. The disco has brought home the job for you. You can't concern yourself with bigger things. You catch a poem like the dragon's wings. Cause it's the heat of the moment. The heat of the moment. The heat of the moment. Showing your eyes. Thank you.
Thank you.
world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. I won't back down. Well, I know what's right. I got just one life in a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground.
I'm not gonna hold. I'm not gonna hold. I've got two tickets to paradise. Thank you.